Zcast again today. I love the ukulele music they have at the onset of that thing. That is so beautiful. We have with us today Trawsware, otherwise known as Sarah Reichelt.
And good morning, Jerry.
We have good, which is amazing. And Tim Reichelt.
Hello,
Timmy.
Oh,
he's here. Okay, kids. Today we're on, huh?
Jerry, we're getting your audio dropouts again.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, I think I know what's causing it. Why don't I put us on pause for a second? I'll try and fix it.
Cool.
Okay.
The question is, how do I... No, that won't work. Well, we'll chat for a minute here. Pause all this stuff.
Okay, well, I will chat while you're working on that one.
Go ahead, why don't you guys discuss among yourselves.
Okay, it is now 1 day, 18 hours, 43 minutes, and 42 seconds until Apple's next keynote, according to the invaluable site, whenisKeynote.com. And they have, Apple have issued an invitation to the press, as they always do, and it's very interesting. It's got an Apple, a partial Apple logo that looks to me like a forest fire. But the key thing for me is that the text says, hello again. Now, long-time Apple watchers like us know that hello again is very significant, isn't it, Tim?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
So, Apple introduced the original Macintosh with the word hello written on its screen. And then again, years later, the first ever iMac said hello again. With its time, the again was in parentheses. So to me, this means that we're looking at some sort of upgrade that is as significant as the iMac. What do you reckon, Tim?
Yes, you had an idea that when Steve came back to Apple, he threw up a display showing a quadrant of machines. There was the consumer laptop and the professional laptop, and the consumer desktop and the professional desktop. Was that the arrangement?
Yeah, that was it. So you had two columns, consumer and pro, and you had two rows, laptop and desktop, and so that gave you four little boxes.
Yes, and I think that we're going to get a it's been how long since we last had a change? We had the desk lamp iMac, and then we had the current range of iMacs, which have been refined and made thinner. And I think we're about to get a new form for the desktop iMac. And my theory is that its basic form will be, if you like a giant iPad Pro, and that's just the basic shape of it. It won't have a touch screen, but it will look like a giant iPad Pro. And what's interesting is what will be inside it.
ARM.
Yes.
Well, that is the big question, I reckon. I've been a proponent that Apple's going to go solely with their own chips for a long time. I think, Tim, you're a more recent convert, but you've now come around to the idea. To support it, I found a table online, and I forget which site I found it on because I just saved the picture, the image. But it showed all the various MacBooks and MacBook Pros with the what chips they're running. And it really seems to me that the updates of all these devices have been slowed dramatically by Intel's inability to produce the newer chips in sufficient scale. We've only just gone, the new MacBook had a speed bump in April to the Skylake chip, But that's the only one of the ones that's got the Skylake chip. The others are all way back in the 2014 Haswell chips. And I think Apple's just finding Intel too much reliability at this point.
Well, plus there's all kinds of other factors too, like energy consumption, the room that it takes up. These are all things that could be make the new device, whatever it is, thinner, faster. Well, probably not faster, but thinner, more energy efficient, no fan, cooler, more room for battery and all kinds of other stuff.
Well, what startled
well,
me... Sorry.
No, carry on.
What startled me was stumbling across the piece of information recently that the... my new iPhone 7 has CPU power roughly similar to, what was it, the MacBook Pro of 3 years ago? And I found that pretty stunning. And I thought, well, imagine if the chip designers were told, okay, you've got a desktop machine, and the power that goes with that, and a little less worry about heat, and a little less worry about the energy. So, how fast? What sort of performance can you give me if you can have more cores, for instance, and you don't have to have any slow cycling ones? Now, I'm not saying they'll give up those qualities, but the point is they were obviously getting close to having desktop power. And so I think that's the way they'll go.
Well, they are 64-bit.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Apple have developed their chip technology that I think they can compete on performance.
Well, I think, you know, what occurred to me was two things. Number one, I think for sure they can create a consumer Mac, and I don't think it's going to be like a desktop thing. I think it will be more like a laptop/tablet-looky kind of thing, kind of like, or they could just play safe and go, oh, we're going to make a MacBook, you know, like that thing with one port. We're going to make a MacBook, and we're going to make it with ARM. And guess what? It's going to be it's going to be at lower end, so we can get rid of the old MacBook Airs that were cheap. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, Sarah,
I think they're going to get rid of the MacBook Airs.
You brought up the website showing which Apple models are due for update. Am I right in thinking that it's just about everything, almost everything except the recent MacBook?
That is correct.
Everything. The recent MacBook was updated in April, but it was only a speed bump. It wasn't any major update. But everything else is in the do not buy category. And the days since last update, some of them are amazing. The MacBook Pro has been 1,597 days since an update. That's the old non-Retina MacBook Pro, so I think that's probably on the way out. But the Mac Pro has been 1,041 days.
Well, this chat is called wild speculation. I think they're going to update everything, every single thing. And I also think that possibly they'll drop the iMac designation for the desktop, the I being now very long in the tooth, and just call it the Mac again.
That would be hello again, wouldn't it?
It would.
But yeah, that would. It's a good point. Yeah, well, I would go along with that. I reckon that the whole line needs a refresh. The I has done its job. Okay, here's the next question for you guys.
Well,
Are we going to see the whole line go retina?
Well, I think we'll see the whole line go retina. Question: I don't know that we're going to see the whole line go ARM, though.
Well, that's the fun part of this sort of wild speculation. I think we will.
Well, I don't think the MacBook Pro, for instance, that would be something. If that was ARM... Well, you know what? The way they could do that, they could have a little server farm inside of there.
Well, yeah, more than one CPU.
Yeah. They could have you seen not just cores, but like a little server farm they could farm out the work.
Well, I mean, when they rip apart an iPhone 7, the circuitry is to my ancient eyes breathtakingly small, and therefore the amount of they could essentially do exactly what you're saying in a desktop machine. And it would still be, it could still be Johnny Ive thin.
And relatively
okay,
cool.
Okay, well, I've got another question for you guys to mull over. The MacBook, which is the most recent device, got rid of all ports except for USB-C. Now, do you think, Apple is famous, of course, for getting rid of things that they think are unnecessary and the rest of the industry follows along. Do you think this is the end of USB-B? Are we all going to, are the new ones going to use USB-C only?
I would say yeah.
Yes, I think it would be classic Apple to drive the rest of the computer world frantic by ruthlessly exterminating the legacy serial ports. And saying, we'll give you a. Oh God! I just thought. Imagine if they took the headphones jack out.
Yeah, exactly.
I bet they will. I mean, I haven't used the headphones jack on my Mac forever. I have a USB headset, which of course wouldn't work either. But
I have an adapter.
Yes,
right.
I've got a little dongle here that I got with my phone.
Right. Well, you know,
there's a
reason they haven't updated these things for so long, right?
I think so.
So, they're not just doing it because they're lazy or because they've lost their focus or because of blah, 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 or that the car project ate up all their engineers. I just don't believe any of that.
Nope. No, if
they
just released their financials. Just
yeah,
released their
and I
financials.
Bet they're through the ceiling, aren't they?
They made $9 billion profit, but they can still afford to employ the odd engineer, and the car engineers are nothing to do with the people designing the insides of a Mac, I think. But if you look at the sales of the Mac, that they've been tracking slowly down, and there's no way that Apple are unaware of the status of their own sales. I think that they have been just doing a massive redesign of the entire range, and I think we stand an excellent chance of a bombshell keynote.
Well, the key
of
thing
course
is
we had the. Sorry, Jerry, just 1 minute. We had the case where the Mac was bucking the trend. PC sales overall were declining, and Macs were the only version of a non-mobile device that were actually increasing in sales. And that lasted, I think, up until this last quarter. And now, obviously, everybody is thinking this is way overdue for an update, and I'm not going to buy a Mac right now. But I think if they do some major revamp of the line now, I think they could really cash in, especially given IBM's recent release of its vast savings in the support of Macs over PCs.
Yes, and none of that's a coincidence. My point is, they are having this 2 days after their financials, number one. The financials came 2 days after the IBM research bombshell data disclosure. So it's three things happened every 2 days. And my guess is every one of them is good news.
I hadn't thought that, of course, Apple is working very closely with IBM now, and it hadn't really occurred to me that that could have been orchestrated.
I think so. Tim, did you get much of a look at the financials? I bet they ticked up. I'm sure they didn't go down, not to an extent.
No, I didn't get a very close look, but they they were that $9 billion profit 4 quarters ago, they made $11 billion profit. So they weren't all that strong. I think the iPhone sales were slightly improved, but no, I didn't get a good look at them, so don't hold me to that. But I do remember those profit figures.
It couldn't have been too bad.
Figures were up.
Yeah. Plus, they spent more on R&D. We know that. They've been doing that.
They've been doing that for a while now, and something's got to come out of it.
Exactly. So let's talk a little about the software, Sarah. What happens to everybody's apps to get them to run on ARM?
If Apple... we all remember back when we transitioned from PowerPC to Intel, and for a long time, the Macs had effectively an emulator built into them. Remember the blue box? Which provided a bridge, basically, so your old PowerPC apps would run on your Intel Mac. But I would hope that Apple would just kind of allow you to recompile your app in Xcode and have it work on both. Don't you remember then there was the thing where we had universal app bundles where the app came with a PowerPC version and an Intel version? That would fit really well with the App Store's new, what do they call it, bit splicing, where you upload your whole app to the App Store, but the App Store delivers only the bits that the device that's doing the buying needs.
Yeah, and something tells me it might be more than that, right?
You reckon?
Well, they've been tricky like this before. And Bilbo, right? What has it got in its pockets? We don't know.
We definitely don't know, but that's what's fun, to stick our necks out here and make ourselves look really stupid in 2 days' time.
Oh, that's the funnel, right? Hey, do you think that the how many people are using Bootcamp? Apple would know how many people are using Bootcamp, and we've just had the IBM news. Are IBM... boot camping vast piles of their 50,000 Macs, or are they using OS 10?
I think they're using Mac OS. You're way behind the time frame.
Thank you. Endless
because,
apologies.
Because IBM has made a big commitment to Swift.
Right.
And Swift is not yet available for Windows.
So this is an opportunity
now,
for Parallels.
I think it's an opportunity for Parallels, a virtual box, and all those others. But, you know, do people really, as you say, do people use Bootcamp these days? I mean, for a while it was that the best Windows laptop you could buy was a MacBook. But I don't know if that's really the case anymore. And Mac's getting more traction in the enterprise market, and of course, it's always been big in education. And I just wonder how many people still need to run Bootcamp.
Well, if IBM aren't using it, then I'm absolutely certain that Apple would be prepared to cut them all free and let them just run the virtual boxes like Parallels.
Yeah, you don't get the performance, but you can run your stuff. Okay. Now, I speculated earlier about Retina, and you guys all agreed that everything would go Retina. But there is a cost implication to this. And, Jerry, I know that you are very concerned that in the U.S. market they maintain a sub-$1,000 MacBook. We lost Jerry again? Maybe we have.
Yeah.
Well, Well,
Jerry's little icon looks like he's talking, but we're not hearing him.
Oh, okay.
That's unfortunate.
Well, I'll just keep talking then. So it seems to be that for students and a lot of consumers, being able to buy a Mac at $999 is a key factor. They won't buy it for $1,099, but they will for $999. But the only... But let me see. There are sub-999s, the little MacBook Air, or both MacBook Airs, actually, are that price. That's, and the Mac Mini, but that you have to buy a monitor. So my feeling is that the MacBook Air is going to die. They're going to kill the MacBook Air. We're going to have the MacBook and the MacBook Pro. So can they price the MacBook under 1,000 US?
I think they can. And I think you're right. I think they'll have to. Over to you, Jerry.
Hey, sorry. Missed you guys there for a minute. Yeah, if the discussion is, will they push the MacBook prices down with ARM, I think they will.
I was discussing, Jerry, the fact that you're very insistent that they need a sub-1,000 MacBook.
Oh, yes. I am. Yeah, they need that to get rid of the Airs. I call
that
the Air.
Well, I think they're definitely going to get rid of the Air.
Well, that's...
Oh.
Very good.
Thank you.
You need to come with a warning.
Yeah, I should. No, I really think so. But here's the real question, Sarah. It could go one of two ways, and this will be very revealing about... And this, to me, is the most interesting thing about the event. We'll see one of two things. If they do go ARM, and they do aim it at the MacBook, will the ARM MacBook be cheaper or more expensive? And the existing one become cheaper? That's the question.
Yeah, well, if they're using their own chips, and if they're using, I mean, imagine they're just multi-coring what's already in the iPhones. The economies of scale are enormous. They're making millions and millions of these things every day for the iPhones. The number that they would need for the MacBooks is a drop in the ocean compared to the number they need for iPhones. And so I think that they could do that much more cheaply than they can buy those same chips from Intel.
Yes, well, I think it's definitely, I think we all know what those chips from Intel cost, and they're in the hundreds of dollars, as I recall, aren't they?
I know if you buy a CPU, you know, us and our sons have built our own gaming PCs, and when you're buying the CPUs, it's not cheap. I presume that Apple doesn't pay retail prices, though, but yeah, you're talking about a couple of $100.
That's some serious money, and then if you figure they've got their own chip, and for them, there's a sunken cost, of course, of the fab equipment and the design and all that kind of stuff, but that's sunken cost. It's gone. Boom.
That's done. The iPhone
now,
pay for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's done. So, yeah. And I don't think it'll be the exact same chip as an iPhone or anything like that, but I think there'll be some leverage off of what they've done for the iPhone, and then they have this thing. But the big question is, you know, Apple, should they do, could they do, will they do? You know, this is going to be revealing about Tim Cook's Apple. You know, what are they going to go for? Are they going to make a MacBook that's the bottom of the line, that's ARM, that's fast, thin, and blow everybody away? Or do they not do that because they don't have to? And it'll be new and shiny enough that everyone will pay another $100. And then they'll push everything else down.
Yeah, that's a good question. Now, here's another question for you. The Mac Mini, it's always been a kind of outlier, and it's quietly sold away for years and years and years. I know we had one or two at work, very reliable and very cheap. So what do you think? Are they going to keep that, or has it had its day?
What do you think, Tim?
Oh, I've been wildly speculating, and now I've lost my nerve. I think they might let it go, and I'm also noticing that we're not discussing the Mac Pro.
We kind of did. That was when I was talking about the server farm inside of a desktop.
Ah, right.
At least
okay. That's
what I was talking about. That's what I was talking about. But there's more to talk about there. But Mac Mini. Okay, Mac Mini. Let's just talk about that for a second. Yeah, it's like their server now, right? They have whole businesses built around
Mac Minis. They used to have a server, but they don't anymore. Yeah, so if you want a headless Mac to run as a server, then the Mac Mini is it. Yeah.
Well, it is their default server. They don't call it that, but that's what it is, really.
Yeah, and they sell an option with a server pre-installed on it.
Right. And, you know, places like Mac Stadium and Mac Mini Colo, which are now the same company, they're built around those things. And, in fact, those Mac Stadium also has a server option that is a Mac Pro. So they will cluster those things for you, too. So there's businesses built around this thing. I don't know if they're going to be so willing to. And there are racks for these things now, too. So.
Well, the Mac
I think
Pro, I thought the Mac Pro was absolutely gorgeous machine. They brought that out 3 years ago. And it had great performance, and it looked really spectacular. But about 3 months later, they introduced the Retina iMac, the 5K Retina iMac. And I think they blew the Mac Pro out of the water. So I just wonder, the Mac Pro hasn't been updated for 1,041 days. And I wonder, is it also for the chop? You know, have they decided that that's not worth keeping either? That the iMac and the Mac Mini can do the jobs?
Well, Jerry, you made a strong argument for the Mini, and you persuaded me. Can you make a similar argument for the Pro?
Yeah, I'll say one thing. USA.
Oh, yes, it's made in the USA.
Yeah. That takes a little bit of heat off of them because they have a lot of heat on them here. What with all the politicians, let's just say, talking the talk.
Yep.
And it would be nice if they could show an uptick in that area, not just for politics, but I think there is a use case, and the use case are professionals who do extreme rendering, either audio, video, or both. They need that. Universities need it. They can't just cluster a bunch of Mac Minis. They could use those cores, and they could use that bus, and they could use all that stuff. That's my case.
Well, the design professionals, they might like a Mac Pro, but Apple doesn't supply a 5K monitor to go with it.
Well, of course they will Thursday in conjunction with some unbelievable monitor maker, right? LG or somebody.
Well, it won't be Samsung, that's for sure.
No, it will not be Samsung. I think we could say that they couldn't afford the association, much less the lawsuit problem, right? Kaboom.
Yep.
By the way, you made the point about the Pro being made in the US. If you look at the rest of the range, the only other candidate, I think, would be the Mini. Minis could be made in the US.
They could, although you got to admit the margin we have on Apple has on a Pro is right up there, and I think they like that. But you know, it must also be pointed out that from what I gathered, the tour that they had of the Pro factory here in the U.S., very few human beings, mostly robots, and the human beings that were there were specialists in running those robots. So,
yeah, I think they could do the same with a Mini.
I do too. I agree. Sarah, what do you think?
Well, I certainly take your political point that having a model made in the States is good for Apple. And it has to be a model that's reasonably small volume. So that really does point to the Mac Pro. And if we hark back to the start of our discussion where Tim and I were saying that we thought Apple was going to go back to Steve's original quadrant, having a consumer and pro models of both the desktop and the laptop, then you've got the Mac and you've got the Mac Pro. And so I think they will keep the Mac Pro, and we shall just see what sort of a monitor they come out with, or whether they've just decided that there are sufficient third-party monitors out there, and the designers have already chosen the ones they want, and so they just got to give them the ports.
Well, it could be that, but, and, you know, here's the thing. Anything to do with hardware is going to get leaked. I think we know that now, right? Unless it's built in the U.S.
Ah, now, this brings me to, I know we're getting close to the end of our time, but the latest pictures of the Mac, leaked Mac Pro, MacBook Pro, I beg your pardon, have this soft top row of keyboard, of the keyboard. It's a soft keyboard with application-specific software buttons, I think. That's an interesting thought, and can they bring that to the iMac as well as to the portables?
I don't see why not.
Yeah, with regard to the with regard to the security aspect, anything which is made in staggering quantities, like the phone, it's very clear that keeping that under wraps is now getting ferociously difficult for them. But the Macs, especially new Mac designs and so on, I think that they stand a much better chance of keeping that quiet. I think we've done a good job of wild speculation, but if you want one last piece, which I think Jerry was kind of headed towards, is one last bombshell would be if they said, well, and we've decided that we're going to build all these Macs by in the States, all the desktop Macs.
Well, I
like
that.
I like that. That's interesting.
Mm.
Could be.
All right. Well,
could be more than that.
Time to wrap this up. It's 1 day, 18 hours, 13 minutes before we actually find out how wrong we were. So in Australia, in Queensland, that's going to be at 3 a.m. Friday morning. So you can think of us propping our eyelids open and trying to listen to Mr. Cook and his team. Jerry, it's much better for you, I presume.
Yes, noon, as it were. Hey, one more thing. What do you say we reconvene following that, once you guys have had a little sleep and what have you? You want to do this again, end of the week?
Yeah, why not? That would be, 2 days from now.
Done. I'll schedule it in Zcast. Zcast is beautiful. I'm loving it. And hope everybody else is too. Okay, Sarah is at Trozware.
At Trozware, on Twitter, Troz.net on the web.
There you go. And Tim, you want to plug something?
No. I have enjoyed. I felt it was important with a title of Wild Speculation that we should be sufficiently wild, and I think we've fulfilled that. I think we've paid on that. So I think I expect we'll have a lot of egg on our faces when they make their announcements, and we can enjoy analyzing it.
Eggs are good.
They are.
Sounds good. Okay, talk to you in 2 days' time then, Jerry.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Adios.
Bye-bye.